Welcome to the Convos with Anita Santiago podcast. Please like, subscribe, and follow the podcast on all of the major podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to reach out to me directly, you can do that at convoscws@gmail.com. And don't forget to check the website out, Life Convos. LIFECONVOS.com. So, followers, fans, and supporters, boy, do I have a treat for you today. We have with us the amazing Xavier Smith. Now, you know, whenever I have a guest, I like to let y'all know a little bit about them. So, welcome, Xavier, and let me tell you about this amazing guy. Okay, I already told you his name. He hails from Anderson, South Carolina, and is a graduate of Morris College. He has a bachelor's in business administration, and he's just an all-around great guy. But the interesting thing about him is once he graduated college, he came back to his hometown of Anderson and started his work with fathers, boys, and teenagers. And so he is so passionate about this work he does. So he has his own nonprofit, and then he also works for Upstate Fatherhood Coalition, a South Carolina organization. But his passion for fathers, men, and boys is just amazing. Xavier is also a podcaster, and I'm gonna let him plug his pod in at the end of this episode. So everyone, please help me welcome Xavier Smith. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Convos with Anita Santiago podcast. How are you doing today?
Amazing. What about yourself?
I'm doing good. I am so excited to have you on. This is going to be a real treat for the listeners because I was drawn. We're in some podcasting groups together, but I was kind of drawn to the amazing work that you do in your community. And so I want to ask you, what got you started in the work that you're doing right now?
It's a ton of reasons why I started doing now, but if we want to break it down to what I do, so I am with the Upstate Fatherhood Coalition, as you stated, and I do have my own nonprofit, Kind Mentoring. But the whole essence of me starting this type of work is through child. Learning that, you know, during my childhood days, you know, it was a lot that I seen. There was a lot that I did experience, but through experience, I watched my mom pretty much be the headship of everything in the family, but not knowing that, you know, I had grandparents and I had, you know, other relatives that tended. But the biggest thing is not seeing my father be a role model, that kind of took a toll on me. I know that, especially face to share it, my father telling me that, hey, you know, like, I'd rather be a street pharmacist, or, you know, I'd rather drink than take care of you. But learning the whole essence that my dad had other competing responsibilities, where he was uninvolved in my life. So getting into this work, moving forward, was pretty much just plugging in with other networking friends and different people that was from different walks of life for me. I know that it was different because I came from a place of being shy and timid. So getting around people, the social anxiety was like, oh man, I wasn't welcome. I can't do this work, or I'll never be connected with anyone. Mm-hmm. But learning more about myself was being able to take that first leap of getting around networking partners, or getting around new people that was able to show me a different light in life. Mm-hmm. I did have opportunity to sit at the table with execs or managers and directors, and knowing that they are 10 and 11 and 10 figures, and I'm the only person in the room that's not even making half of that.
It was a different
speed of light for me, because, you know, just listening through conversation, I was always a sponge. So.
Now let me point something out that I have to point out. One of the things that I'm so fascinated with is that you're a young man doing this. You know, often I see men who have like dedicated their whole lives to this, and I know there are a lot of men out there that are mentoring, that are helping, that are touching our community, but you're fairly young. So how long have you been at this?
So currently with my place of work at Upstate Fatherhood Coalition, I've been doing this work for 3 years. I'm actually the youngest one out of the Upstate. So my director, Mr. Courtney Burgess, which I want to shout out as well, he hired me at that 25. So with that giving me an opportunity coming from manufacturing work, I learned that manufacturing was just, you know, the money was there, but I understand that that wasn't a potential that I was supposed to tap into. So given that I had the opportunity in social work, or, you know, being able to, you know, advocate for other fathers, that was different, because I went into this type of work with, again, no public speaking skills, no type of receptionist or office management. It's like, well, you 27, so let me put it out there. So you have no kids. So how do you actually relate to other fathers that's don't even see light in themselves, or they don't even see the benefits themselves? So, you know, just being able to tap into that side, which we'll get into more in depth, what the Fatherhood Coalition actually does and provides for fathers. Mentorship, I will shift it for a second. Mentorship, April 7th will be 5 years.
Cool,
being into mentoring. So with mentoring young men, you know, that was a different. I will say that, you know, the experiences and challenges I faced as a young man, just wanting to go back to my community at appropriate age where I can relate to the young men at all ages. You know, just being, you know, young, and, you know, being able to have that mindset, because it always starts with the mindset. So I do have to understand that, you know, we call it a case study assignment that I had to do. So case studies for me was being able to do the research before I actually did the work. That was going to keep me productive. And that was going to keep me where I had the level of influence on my community. So it was just all about just being able to reach people, provide services, because I know the money will eventually come, but the services is always first.
Well, let me bring something up to you, and I kind of mentioned this to you before. In some previous episodes with my pastor, Pastor Rasan Jordan, we talked about his book, and the book is called I Live, Yesterday Didn't Kill Me. And one of the things that really struck me in the book was that he talked about the emotional impact of not having his father in his life. And for many of us, and I think women especially, we don't always recognize the impact or the imprint of not having fathers or role models in a young man's life or young lady's life. You know, what that actually feels like. And I think in our quest to build community and provide support for our kids, I don't know that we necessarily pay attention to that. And I know that there are many, many fathers, and we want to shout out all the fathers, all colors, creeds, and backgrounds. There are many, many fathers that are doing doing what they can for their children. They are showing up and they are involved and they participate. But I want you to kind of speak to like what you've seen in your experiences as far as the young men. I know you exclusively work with young men, but what is the impact for these young men that you work with who don't have those role models or fathers in their lives?
I will say that, you know, working with these young men is a level of commitment. And I was sharing it with a good friend of mine earlier. I was telling, you know, I was just sharing with my friend, like, you know, the heart that you got to have behind this type of work is unforeseen. And a lot of people don't understand that working in the heart of the community with these youth is important. Now, when you see the dynamics of what the youth face, it's traumatic. Like, it's really traumatic because the kids are looking for love in the wrong places. But the problem with young men as of right now is, you know, they're looking for two parent homes. Given that we only see one parent home, regardless if it's mom or dad, the kids are looking for some type of love. And, you know, the love that's not fulfilled in the homes, of course, they get back schools and the communities, that's a failed assignment. So they get failed, and then once they look for that kind of advocacy in their communities, then it turns into violence, or then it turns into alcohol addictions, or then substance addiction, and it goes on.
But let me ask you a question right there. I know that, like, I've heard young people saying, like, some of my work in mental health counseling, when I've worked with, you know, young men, they've said that, you know, they find that community in the streets, running with the wrong crowd or whatnot. Do you find that being in Anderson, you know, there's more of a challenge for those young men to find communities? Because, like, when you talk about cities, you know, we don't have the same challenges as maybe smaller areas. So I wonder if you think that plays a role in what these young men are going through.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Anderson, South Carolina is an unserved, underserved community. So, when you're talking about impact and you're talking about looking at stats with kids that have a absent father or child with a present father, the numbers speak for itself. And it always tell on itself. Like, one thing that I stress to my, for as the mental health side and things that they deal with on a day-to-day basis, is trauma that's not treated, it's just transferred.
Right. Can you say that again? Can you say that one more time?
Yeah. The trauma, you know, I tell my youth that trauma that's not treated is transferred. So when you're dealing with trauma in your life for a long period of time, as a man myself, I can speak. You don't get the full experience of living into boyhood. So they, you know, the boyhood stage is when you should feel love. You should feel that camaraderie, or you should feel that commitment for someone. But, you know, you have to look into within self first to be able to see those abilities. You know, when you're dealing with that trauma then, and imagine that it's not being treated, like, you ain't doing nothing but transferring that into every relationship that you get in.
Come on now.
Regardless if it's building an intimacy level to get close with your families or siblings. Mm-hmm. We can talk about the romantic side with a lady that's trying to, you know, trying to fulfill that love from you. But again, when you don't learn your traumas, that comes none and void. You really can't do the things that you want to, or you don't have that compassion to do it, because it's like it's never been modeled.
Right. And I feel like in my mental health work, and as I've had a couple of experiences where I worked at organizations in the St. Louis area that catered to, you know, to men or to young men. And one of the things that I feel happens is that women don't always understand the context or the pressure or the challenges that men walk through. It seems to be, and you can tell me if I'm right or wrong, but there seems to be certain lessons learned or certain rituals that boys who are growing into men go through that only another man can show them, right? And so I really feel like in our effort to help, a lot of times we may not really understand what the actual challenges are. So can you kind of, you know, speak to, like, if you could say to women and girls, mm-hmm. who want to support the men in their lives, anything, what would that be?
First and foremost, just for the women and ladies itself, is, you know, you have to be right with yourself first. You just have to be right innerly, like from the heart. So one thing that I always teach the guys is, you know, first we have to be able to listen before we speak. Mm-hmm. Because when it coming down to, you know, trying to commit, or you trying to be present in a lady's life, or be there for a woman, you know, like, that's one of the things that we have to do, is getting back to being ourselves. So one of the things that I always like to share, life, we have to change our appetite to get the full recipe from God. So you gotta be connected spiritually, like, mm-hmm. principles that we do exclude out, where young boys can't connect spiritually. So when they can't connect spiritually, they can't be in a proper wellness spirit to be able to support a woman. So think about it, on the level of trying to support a woman, you know, women will be looking for that fulfillment from that man. They are emotional triggers, but in the day that, you know, a woman would like for someone to step in and, you know, take the lead, be able to see, you know, just be able to see someone that's actually groomed. Groomed, they can be able to take charge. But men are unable to do it, because, again, the role model side from your father, he's not able to teach you because he's not there.
Right.
So based off you trying to commit to a young lady, you guessing it. So like, you putting yourself out there to know that, you know, well, whatever this relationship gonna look like, then I'ma just have to play it how she play it. Sometimes that don't turn out to be good, because, you know, a young man like that, it's like, well, I got other things that's in place where I'm not able to give you what you need. So the happiness or the enjoyment will come through sexual intentions, because that's the only thing that they'll be able to offer.
What do you feel like I just heard you say that the young men are they have difficulty connecting spiritually. What other things do you see that the young men that you work with struggle with?
They struggle with it educationally. I will say educationally, socially, intellectually, environmentally. Environmentally is one of the biggest troubles right now. Like,
so tell us about that. What does that look like?
The environmentally is not being able to, you know, to be able to move through life, and be able to see that positive walk from someone. When you are always around friends that just love to smoke, drink, and, you know, just do things that don't really gear towards having a healthy life. Anyone can tag on that. We learned it now that social dilemma is one of the biggest principles why young men are not healthy right now. Because
so can you explain what social dilemma is for us?
So social dilemma is what we see on social media.
Okay, gotcha.
We know that plays a big part in any young man or any young woman now, because we going off what everyone else is doing or what we are seeing, but we not living up to our own standards, because we know that anyone else that does this or they put on for this or they show this, we know that can be falsely claimed.
Right.
So that's not really you. You know, we have that conversation now, like, you really don't live like that. Your mom.
Right.
Raise you like that. So when we see stuff like that, you know, my young guys, I can tell you right now, they automatically, like, they get a rise, or like their spirits just jump because they see it and they be like, oh yeah, I like that, or that Mr. Smith, like, oh, that song hard, or I have to, I'm like, well, what do you see in that? What's the value? It's not you.
Right.
Let me see what you learn. Let me see what you can learn, what your abilities is, what's your values, like, what do you cherish? And like, sometimes it'd be hard for them to cope with that because they can't answer it right away.
Right.
Because when you always trying to fight a spirit, or you always having to look over your shoulder all the time, it's like, I can't answer it right away for you, Mr. Smith. I can't do that. So my next thing is, let me help you. Like, let me help you with, you know, learning about yourself. Let's talk about your goals. Let's talk about what you want to do in your career. Let's talk about, like, what we can do to help pull up your grades. So it's small things like that I have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. And it fulfills me.
Okay.
Like, it makes me go hard every day, as you see. Like, I love the work. Like, it's a grind.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's the grind. I love the work.
Let me tell you this. So one time I was... when I was working down in the inner city here in St. Louis, I had a guy come in, a young man. He probably was in his late teens, 17 or 18. And he was really agitated, you know, and I'll never forget this as long as I live. But he came in and he said, I want to see a counselor. And I said, how can I help you? And he's pacing back and forth, and he's got a McDonald's uniform on. And he's saying, you know, when he was in the streets, he was making enough money to take care of everybody. He's taking care of his mom. He was taking care of the block. And his older brothers and an uncle all went to jail. So he decided to, you know, get a regular job, get training. But now he's in a position where he's homeless and he don't make enough money to really take care of himself. And he asked me, he looked at me and he said, should I go back to the streets? And I didn't, I was lost for words because I felt so heartbroken that we're not having a conversation about your future, about your hopes and dreams. We're having a conversation between two dynamics that neither one of them are really positive. And then I had another situation where I had a young man, I was like 15 years old, and we were talking, and he made this statement, and it stayed with me all these years. He said, I'm not going to live past 30 anyway, so I'm getting it all in now. And I was like, what is happening to our young men that they have lost, they see no future, no hope. Why should I take out all those student loans when I'm just going to maybe get a job like everybody else? Or, you know, this was my family situation, and I've seen several generations of this. So therefore, my situation is going to change. And I was just flabbergasted. I guess that's an old word, by the no hope, I don't see a future and I don't see a hope. Do you hear the young men that you work with saying those kind of things?
Absolutely.
Wow. Absolutely. That breaks my heart.
It does. When you hear things like, you know, I wish I could have, or, you know, like, I wish life was like this for me. We call those words extreme words. So those are words to be concerned about, because you can help you can, you as mentors, as leaders, we can help you build and find that foundation for you. Mm-hmm. But again, it starts in the home with mom and dad. And so when mom and dad not available,
or right,
mom and dad don't have that security or that drive to, you know, sit down with their kids and have conversation with them, then where else can they, besides another advocacy service or place that they have to run to for help?
And I think people mistakenly think that there are things in place for our kids and that somebody will step in. And when my kid was in high school and middle school, you know, I saw a lot of parents that had the perspective, well, it, you know, if my kid is having trouble, there's some help, there's something. And there are a lot of organizations out there doing good work, but really and truly, there's not somebody coming to the rescue.
Absolutely.
And I think that's where some of the young people, young girls and young men, fall through the cracks, because it may be too much for the parents, or like you said, and they're working, they're trying to take care of things, they're not available. And they're thinking, well, I send my kid to school, and if somebody, you know, sees something, you know, they'll intervene. And I'm not saying all parents think like that. I don't want people to think that I'm saying that's everybody, right, and it's not. But I think there's a real prevalent attitude that somehow, somewhere, there is help out there, and there's not.
Right.
And I think that's something we need to bring to light, like, you know, to reinforce that sense of community. And right, that's the one thing I love about the work that you do, because it's community focused, it's community based. And I'll tell you, like, in cities, I feel it's harder to build community because, you know, you think of Chicago, L.A., New York. I mean, people have community, but it's not the same is when it can be intimate, like in Anderson.
Yes, yes, yes. I believe strongly in change, and I always say change within. Like when you look at the word change is being able to focus in a direction where you can be somebody, and you can see hope in yourself. But first, what's around you. But what does it do if change is prevalent but separation is not involved? So when I say that, you know, like, you got to be able to separate yourself from the very own things that can be a temptation on your life. Like, it's a lot of things in life that we compete with, for as the, you know, the whole governor welfare, the economic welfare. We have things that's going on at the center of us every single day that sometimes that time can move so fast, like, you don't know what could happen. So that's the reason why kind mentoring is in place here in Anderson, because kind stands for kind involvement's never decreased. But your involvement, I always let my guys know, that's what kind stands for. So like the involvement of you being a person, a son, a friend to someone, your involvement is important. So never shut yourself down or let someone else take you out your element because you've asked, oh, well, I'm not good enough, or somebody told me that I wasn't good enough. You know, actually, stand firmly.
That's what's up. And I mean, I think the vision that you have as a young man is one of the things that's so inspirational, because you saw a need and you jumped right in. You saw this was needed in your community. You went to college and you came back and you said, you know, I want to make a difference, and I want to put myself in place where I can not only reach out and help, but, you know, reach one, teach one, or however that saying goes. You know, for every young man that you help, you're touching a family, you're touching their community as well. And those people are learning from you as well, even if they're not intimately involved with you. So you just did a workshop like a couple of weekends ago or something. Can you tell us a little bit? Because I want people to get a sense of the kind of things you're doing. You're not just talking to the guys and giving them, you know, dap and high five. You're actually doing things that matter. So you, can you tell the people about the workshop you did?
Absolutely. So I hosted a workshop on February 26th, which was actually last week. And the title of that workshop was called I Got the Game Tied Up. So it was a good friend of mine's out of Columbia, South Carolina. Shout out to Devontae Pundexter, known as AKA Coach P, a real sharp guy. He's a dog. He's a dog in this. So definitely shout out to him. But he actually came down and hosted the workshop with me. But in the event of this tie workshop was to put something in front of these young men where they are actually learning a skill, a soft skill, knowing how to, you know, go ahead and build that professional development portfolio up under them. Because a lot of them, you know, they don't know how to tie a tie, or they'll look at us and be like, oh yeah, y'all clowns, y'all jokes, because y'all wear suits and ties all day. But that's just what y'all dress like church folks. And it's been coming. I love it, because in the teaching of it is we showing you some type of development, professional development. So when you step out here and you attend, or if you attend a conference or a business engagement, you will know how to put a professional attire together, you know, without you thinking otherwise, because a lot of these guys, they don't know how to put any type of professional clothing together. It's like they just put on something and they want to wear their Jordans. They don't think that dress shoes is relevant. They don't know anything about loafers. They don't know anything about any type of dress shoe. They don't know. Mm-hmm. They clown and make the joke. So the whole essence of this workshop was, you know, let me show you something. Let me put something in front of you that you can take back home, and you can also, you know, give back to your families, or you can show your family something that you learned, but also put it back into your communities, like the schools, or telling your friends about it. Because the friends, once you teach your friends about it, or you tell your friends about it, they'll be like, hey, you know, like, how you learn that? Like, you playing. Like, Mr. Phil showed me. Mr. Phil really poured into me, and he took his time, and he showed me how to tie a tie. So now let me show you. So it's little things like that. I really do have a passion for young men, and we don't get credit enough for it, but you know, I serve a dynamic of all young men, black,
okay,
blue, whatever you want to call it. I'm serving all young men. I'm just not even going to just keep it one race. I'm going to serve all, because they need it. It's very much needed.
Very much needed. I just, you know, I'm just so glad you came and hung out with me today. Call to action to the listeners, fans, and supporters. You know, I like to highlight people, young people that are out here doing things, doing incredible things. So I will have links to Xavier's organizations on my website. So that's the Life Combos, LIFECONVOS.com/guests. And you can go there. You'll see Xavier's picture, and the links for his organizations will be under there, as well as the links to his podcast. Now I'm going to give you about 45 seconds to go ahead and plug your pod in.
So my podcast is called The Incredible Combo Podcast. It's been around for about a year and a half. So ICP, we pretty much talk about a life spectrum of things. Talk about entrepreneurship, health, new onset business. We talk about anything regarding just life itself. One of my mottos for it is reshaping the hearts and minds of all people. So we want to be able to have people look into themselves, observe themselves, and being able to have that opportunity to share it with someone else to make the impact.
Well, and I'm going to encourage all my listeners and fans and supporters to go out there and check his podcast out. You can find it on all the major platforms. I listened to an episode, finished my episode today, and it was really good, and I really enjoyed it. And if you're in the South Carolina state, if you're in the state of South Carolina, support this brother. Support what they're doing. The links to his organizations will be under his picture, but let's... If we have to be the change that we want to see. We can't keep saying, you know, we need to do this and we need to do that. And why are our kids doing this? And why are they walking around with nothing to do? And why aren't they doing more? And I don't understand. Okay, this is just one example. I'm sure there's many more. This is just one example of someone that's in their community that's trying to do something. And so all I'm asking is support. Follow the pages, share the info, listen to the podcast. I want to thank you again for hanging out with us on the Convos with Anita Santiago podcast with my wonderful guest, Mr. Xavier Smith. And guess what, you all, this conversation is so good. We're going to have a part two. So stay tuned. Happy listening.